The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 161 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, it's loud as hell on my end because I'm not turning the air conditioner off.
That's all right, man. It's hotter than hell in Michigan right now. It's I'm looking out into my backyard and it is the scorched earth that is remaining from this hot wave that we've had.
It is ridiculous.
It's been terrible.
It's supposed to be super hot again tomorrow. What the heck?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't believe I'm begging for rain, but here we are.
It stormed this afternoon, which it does frequently in the late afternoon. Especially in the Midwest, but across the country. I don't know that Fox, NBC, or NASCAR has gotten that message yet, but you'd think they would have.
Well, they should by now. They've got it beaten over their heads to, change the start times of these races. It's been terrible.
It's awful. Why in the world do you start the Brickyard 400 at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon?
It was a 4:25 green flag.
You've already run up against darkness in this race before.
With two half-hour delays for strikes?
Yeah.
Or something like that? It was... I think it was probably as mad as I've been about a start time for a race. And remember when they changed it at Michigan to like 3:30?
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty mad then.
Yeah.
That was,
and guess what we've had as a result of that? We've had a rainout already with that last year. We've had delays.
Let's get these races in, man.
Stupid. Or if you're going to do it, okay, you're going to start this late, shorten suckers up. But
it's terrible, yeah.
Still, just first of all, put lights in. I mean, you're not going to put lights in at Indy. Well, not in a million
Rogers
years.
Said, oh, I don't Did know. He? Hold on. Yeah, Rogers, I think it's going to happen. He's been hinting at it since he bought
Can
in.
Can you imagine the Indy 500 at night?
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. Indy really is plagued by the fact that it's hot as crap at Indianapolis, except Memorial Day weekend.
That's hot. I mean, that tends to be hot, too. But, keep an eye on that because Roger has been throwing that out there, that lights might be coming. So
Roger put a lot of money into that track already, and we'll talk here shortly about some additional money that he needs to spend there. But before we do that, James... Let's start by recapping this weekend's race, which was, as you love, the Big Machine Hand Sanitizer 400 powered by Big Machine Records at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kevin Harvick gets the win, goes back-to-back at the Brickyard, third overall win at Indy, and the 17th win this season or something for Harvick? How many has he won this year now?
He's racking them up.
His 53rd career victory, his fourth victory, and 13th top 10 finish in 2020.
He is chasing down Kyle Busch on the all-time wins list again.
Yes, he is.
He's coming back. He's making his vaunted comeback up the charts.
Yes, he is. He's one behind Lee Petty, right? Is that what they said?
He's got a couple guys he's going to be taking out here pretty soon. And then he'll get to Kyle. But Lee Petty is next on the list. And he'll catch him here eventually. He is, since we've come back... from our little break there, our COVID break. He's four wins, 13 top 10s out of a 16 starts so far this year, and 6.9 average finish. So he is the man. It's a two horse race right now between him and Hamlin. Pick your poison each week. One of those guys is going to be there.
Yeah. And we saw that two man battle all day at the Brickyard. Really.
Again, yeah. Again, it was just like Pocono all over again. It was those two dudes again.
Yeah.
It's been what a roll for those guys.
How big of a I don't know how disappointed you can be after you've won as many times as Denny Hamlin has this year, but to be leading that race, it's another one of the crown jewels. It's one that Denny doesn't have. It's like the only one that Denny doesn't have, right?
I think so, yeah. He's got pretty much everything else. He's coming up the wins list too. We've talked about that already, but he's pretty much got everything except the championship and the Brickyard.
He's got the race essentially won. I mean, Harvick was coming, but I don't think Harvick was going to pass him. Nobody passed him all day.
Harvick tried. Remember late? Yeah. I don't know how many laps to go. Maybe 20 to go or something like that. It was late. Harvick made a move to the outside, and couldn't, he just couldn't hold it. And
you just weren't going to pass either of those guys up front.
No, it just wasn't going to happen. The clean air was such an advantage. I mean, older tires versus newer tires didn't matter. Clean air was going to get you where you needed to be.
So Hamlin cuts down a tire, slams the wall. One of many hard hits we saw this weekend due to tire failures.
Yeah,
right front tire failures. This is not surprising in Indy. I mean, we historically have the race that we had, what, every 10 laps or 12 laps, we had a caution back in 08.
Yep.
Due to tire failures and stuff. And, you know, this was a storyline that I think, you know, I don't think it was talked about enough coming into this race, how big of a factor that was going to be, because, you know, we've never raced on Indy with no tire or no rubber on the track like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Cup Series last year in, what was it, September? When we were, it was the last race before the playoff.
Right.
I know they've been moving it around, but that's the last time they've had competitive racing on this, on the oval.
Right.
There's been no Indy 500, nothing.
Right. And we had the Indy cars and the Xfinity cars on the road course on Saturday. Yep. So no additional rubber put on the big track.
In the corner. Yep.
And yeah, so it surprisingly, honestly, it, as many tire failures as there were, there weren't that many, considering what it could have been.
Yeah, considering. Yeah, yeah. But when they failed, holy cow, did they fail big.
It's a square track.
Yeah. Hamlin hit a ton. I think Jones was the – I mean, that hit Jones took was just unreal. And Bowman, I mean, golly, it looked like darts flying into a dartboard.
Yeah.
Didn't it? I mean, that's basically what it looked like when those guys hit.
There's no banging there to slow you down. And you're going straight into a wall. I mean, every corner is a 90-degree turn. So it's the worst scenario possible, other than the fact that they have a safer barrier in the turns. Thank God they have a safer barrier in the turns. Indy was the first place to put safer barrier in at all. And yet is the last track on the NASCAR circuit that still doesn't have safer barrier on the straightaways.
Right, yeah.
I don't understand how you can be the forefront like that and still have, I get it, it's a skinny track.
And yeah, how hard are you going to hit the outside retaining wall?
But in that still, instance? But yeah, still, all it takes is one.
We've seen weird crashes everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you imagine though? You put safer barriers inside and outside the front stretch. You've now narrowed that track up by what, 6 to 8 feet?
Yep.
And that's not a wide track. I can't remember. Have you been there?
I've not been there in person. No,
it's skinny. You think it's skinny, but you get there, it's even skinnier. It's amazing how skinny that place is.
Which makes the Indy cars even more impressive when they're going as fast as they go around that place.
230, 240 miles an hour.
But Eric, we've seen in person, I mean, heck, you were standing in a weird place at Michigan where it wasn't really protected and cars have hit. And you thought a car would never have a bad accident in certain parts of racetracks. I mean, Kyle Busch at Daytona, Jeff Gordon at Vegas.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon at multiple places.
Yeah, he's had a couple of weird ones. But yeah, cars will hit in weird spots. And yeah, Indy, and you know, you don't think about it, and suddenly something happens that you regret. So
right.
But I don't know how much skinnier you can make. You know, you can make those straightaways.
Well, I think it's something that you're going to have to widen some things out. And I think we learned the pit road needs to be widened out a little bit too. We had the big wreck coming into the pit stop. First of all, you know, NASCAR's got to throw the competition caution here. They did the right thing with their planning, but I don't know if maybe this was a moment that we should have split the field coming down to pit road and just let everybody keep their spots like we did earlier in the season when we raced at Darlington for the first time, because this to say we're going to run 40 cars down this pit road 10 laps into the race is a lot to ask for, and it didn't work.
I think we might see a change on these probably for the remainder of the year if we're not going to be practicing. And we're going to keep having these competition cautions. We're going to have to do something there, because that could have been so much worse.
Oh, yeah. It was bad as it was. But, you're right. It could have been.
We were messaging in real time, and I had never seen it that bad. I know we've had accidents on pit road with guys being involved, but not to that extent. I had never seen anything like that. And we were going back and forth. I was just shocked.
Well, I remember the one at Homestead that got us helmets on pit road finally.
Yeah.
I remember that one. I vaguely remember. I don't think I was watching the actual race, but I was watching NASCAR at the time. I vaguely remember the one that got us pit road speed limits. And obviously I've seen the accident many times since.
Bill Elliott one, right?
Yeah.
Was that Atlanta?
Yeah, it was Jeff Bodine spun and hit Bill Elliott's crew member and killed him in Atlanta. Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, it's, I mean, first of all, you got to remember, guys, I mean, these cars are going 200 miles an hour on the track. They look like they're going slow down pit road, but they're going, you know, highway speed. I mean, they're 55 miles an hour.
Look how hard they crashed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, I mean, it was just like, yeah, it was
like
a
wreck. We knocked two cars out of the race as a result.
Yeah, I mean, LaJoie was junked, and Allgaier was, I mean, they were all junked. I was not sure when I saw Zach Price, and we know his name now only because of the injury. That's
right.
Let's, you know, but when I saw him scooting out of there, I just assumed his leg was broken real bad or something. And to see him smiling on the stretcher and giving a thumbs up, I was not expecting that. And
they know what they're getting into. They know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's, dude, I've stood on pit road behind pit wall during pit stops, and it's scary.
Yep.
I mean, I can't imagine running out there. I mean, they're not paying any attention to what's around them. They are focused. If they take their focus off of that car that they're pitting, they lose time. So they don't. And it's, we ask a lot of those guys, and I applaud NASCAR for doing what they've done over the years to reduce the number of guys that are over the wall. You know, we see these penalties for, you know, somebody dropping a hand over the wall or whatever, but this is the reason that we have those. Because the fewer people on pit road, the fewer people are going to get hurt when something like this happens.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to see a rule. I can't believe that we would be sending all the cars on the pit road.
Yeah. The problem with Indy is that the entire inside of the track is grandstands. They've got the Pagoda there and everything. And the space behind pit wall isn't big either. It's the most cramped pit road in NASCAR. So I don't know how they fix this. But they got to fix this. I mean, this pit road has been a problem, and it's been a problem for any cars, too.
Yeah, well, the whole track's not designed for stock cars from from the pits to the corners anywhere else. It's just, you know, it's a square peg in a round hole, right? It's,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a track that was built more than 100 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, it doesn't really fit anything.
Nobody was expecting, when they paved the track with bricks, 100 and some years ago, they were not expecting cars to go 230 miles an hour on it.
Yeah. And if people don't know that story, track was made of bricks at one point. Yes, yeah. that is a fact.
Yeah, that's why the yard of bricks is at the finish line, because that was the track at one time.
That was just crazy.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely crazy. So, yeah, something needs to get done there. I don't know what the solution is, but I'm sure Roger's going to look at it. You know, if you guys missed the story, obviously Roger Penske bought the Speedway, put a bunch of money into it this week. I think, you know, they need to look at that. They need to look at safer barriers around this whole track. We didn't have an issue with that this weekend, but the way people hit here, especially, so, okay, I'm even almost okay with it not being in the straightaways, because it is so straight that it'd be really hard to really have a bad impact on a straightaway. But those short shoots should have safer barrier all the way through them. But I don't know, they even down the back stretch, I mean, maybe the front stretch you can't do it because it's too skinny, but there's got to be a way to do it, man. So the problem that I have with Indy is that it's so sacred. Every other track that NASCAR goes to, NASCAR demands that changes get made to suit NASCAR, and it feels like Indy, we don't do that, because Indy is not NASCAR's track. It's the only track that we go to that isn't NASCAR's track. You know, it's not.
That's right. Yep.
The primary race is not a NASCAR race. And you can tell that by the Speedway gasoline signs in the corners instead of Sunoco signs that, you know, this is an IndyCar playground. But I think NASCAR needs to step up and say, okay, we need these changes to occur. And with Roger there, it's going to make it easier, because it's a little bit more friendly footing now, I think. And I think that's part of why we had IndyCar and NASCAR together this weekend.
And yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Roger synergy is a big thing with Roger. And, you know, we've got a ways to go, but I think giving him some time, you know, he only bought the track at the beginning of the year. So
yeah. And this doubleheader we had this weekend, I don't think happens without Roger Penske.
Oh, God, no.
You know, Roger's the one who brought us that and made that okay to happen. And everybody was excited about it. The IndyCar guys liked it. I'm on board with, I think, instead of doing the doubleheader IndyCar Xfinity on Saturday. You run the IndyCar either before or after the Cup race on Sunday. Of course, we didn't do that because the track switch over this weekend, but that's what I'd like to see. I would like to see both of the main series headline on a Sunday. You know, both of them be the big show, because IndyCar really was relegated to almost truck series status because they were the first race over. I mean, they were even, you know, the second tier card to the Xfinity series. So I don't like that. I think they should be on equal ground with the Cup series. So,
yeah. Or even, you know, at some point, maybe you consider, you know, having some sort of a Cup race around the Indy 500, maybe the week of the Indy 500,
right?
You know, maybe on a Wednesday or something. I know it's tough with the Coke 600. It's almost impossible task, but
yeah. And it's a big ask to bring in NASCAR people to the Indy 500 weekend as well.
Okay.
Because there's so many people there for IndyCar, and there's so many people there just for the party that has couldn't care less about the track.
Exactly.
The race.
Yes.
So it'd be a big ask, but I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to see some cool things with this, partnership, you know, down the road. I think NASCAR's standing in Indy is going to improve because of this. So,
yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be races where IndyCar can be the highlight of the weekend, and NASCAR doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we care. Race fans don't care.
I'm not offended if
there was a time and a place where politics were so out of control with auto racing. You know, IndyCar couldn't get their stuff together way back when. The IRL cart split and all that. And they definitely didn't get along with NASCAR for a long time. But the fact that we're doing this now, it's great. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think the IndyCar race was particularly any good. It was fine. But that Xfinity race was top notch. So
what I like about the IndyCar series, and maybe it's because I've been following it more, but there's a lot of good personalities in the IndyCar series, and it's not a giant field of cars. So it's easier to get to know the drivers and what they're like and everything. And I don't know. I just like, I said last year I was getting into Formula One, and that was a little bit more, you know, I watched the Formula One race this past weekend, which was a spectacular race, by the way. I don't know. Maybe it's just cause I'm watching it more, but I've really begun to enjoy the IndyCar series. They do care less about if they put on a stinker though. Whereas NASCAR is like, oh my God, we had a crappy race. We've got to fix something.
IndyCar's
so the one guy led the whole race, who cares?
Yeah, and that's a fan thing too, where the IndyCar fans like to think of themselves as purists.
Right.
That might be a discussion for another day when you've got, you know, push to pass and different tire combinations and all those. But regardless, so I mean, F1's the same thing. You've got different tire combinations.
F1 is the purists. Those are the ones that are like, we don't.
Oh God! Yeah, this, you know, it's
if you want to change anything to make it more exciting, it's
don't
sacrilege.
Touch F1, yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, and the politics are still out of control.
Oh my God!
But you know, regardless, I just think, we're onto something here, man. This is this was really good, and like you said, you know, and Eric, you're right. You've spent time. You're not just covering NASCAR races either. You've been to the, you know, Grand Prix in Detroit and covered that as well. So, you know, that's something that you've had an interest in, you've been paying attention to it. So I'm going to definitely, you know, follow your opinion on where IndyCar stands there. But, you know, just watching it, I check in with IndyCar from time to time, but I wanted to see it. And I thought it was okay. I think it was kind of a stinker, but again, it's a great weekend of racing. I'm not going to complain as a fan of motorsports. I thought it was all pretty good.
I will say that if you are a NASCAR fan that was exposed to IndyCar this weekend for the first time, this isn't necessarily the case now because of COVID, but IndyCar, if you think NASCAR is fan friendly, IndyCar is 10 steps ahead in the fan friendliness of NASCAR. Now, I don't know if I can vouch for, I can't vouch for the ovals because I haven't been to an oval IndyCar race, but like James said, I covered the Grand Prix at Indianapolis last year. And I mean, you can buy a paddock pass. That's a garage pass. You can go right in the garages. Anybody can.
Yeah.
And you know, the drivers don't just hide in a bus like they do for NASCAR. They're out moving around and stuff at the IndyCar races. And a lot of those road course races, at least when they race at Belle Isle in Detroit, I mean, it's two days of IndyCar racing, and then they have IMSA, they have the stadium off-road trucks. They've got there's like four races in the morning before the IndyCar race. So there's like tons of stuff to do, and it's super, it's more about the experience than the race necessarily for IndyCar. So I highly recommend, if you were interested in that, go check out an IndyCar race when things open back up, and especially hit one of the road course races, one of the street courses, because it's more of a festival. It's a completely different atmosphere than what you see at a NASCAR race.
Yeah, and I've heard the same thing about sports car racing too. Very similar. Yeah, very fan friendly, and you know that again, there's not as many people there. They can move about a little bit more too, and it makes it a little easier. But yeah, if you like auto racing in general, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, you're talking like 15,000 people, I think they put on Belle Isle for the IndyCar race. It's not
anything
compared to what a NASCAR race puts on. But so the Xfinity Series raced on the road course, James. I think we can say that was a success.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall the race was a great race, and then the ending just made it, you know, that was just the icing on the cake. But even without the ending, it was a great race, right?
Right. No. Yeah. It was good overall. Back and forth. And Chase Briscoe having to rally made it a little bit more exciting because he was definitely the best guy out there all day. But it was great overall. Thumbs up. I mean, it's perfect for Xfinity Series to run there. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So question for you. I'm kind of feeling, so we've done the Roval at Charlotte. We were all really skeptical about what that was going to be like, and it turned out to be really good. We ran the road course at Indy this weekend with the Xfinity Series, and it's just one race. You know, we've done it twice on the Roval, but Indy is a very flat, didn't seem like a very stock car friendly road course to run.
Technical, yeah.
But it put on a great race. I'm starting to think that maybe this whole road course push and even street course push that NASCAR is trying or been talking about, been hinting at, been dipping their toe into the past couple of years, maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe these guys are good enough to where they're going to put on a good show at a track like that because they have the skill now to be able to race each other. And because it's slower speeds and more technical, it allows for better. I don't know. It's just, it seems like we can't go to a road course that doesn't work.
Well, and road courses in NASCAR lead to what people like about NASCAR.
Right.
And it's the bump and grind, slamming,
right.
You know, making you got to be technical and smooth. But in NASCAR, you're allowed to, you know, it's a contact sport of auto racing. So
well, especially when you have a track like Indy. I mean, talk about a beautifully designed course that is so forgiving. I mean, there was so much runoff everywhere. Nobody hit anything. I mean, the only place you hit something is on the front stretch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's perfectly designed for it. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought that race there, first of all, I want to see the Cup cars on that road course. I do not want to see the Cup cars replace the Oval. I think there is something special about the Oval.
Yeah,
we need to stay on the Oval.
We're at a quarter of a century of history there plus now. I mean, it's, yeah, I... If the race sucks,
we need to stay on the Oval. Although I thought this race was not bad this weekend.
No, this was good. No, this was a good. This was a good weekend of racing.
I would say
the Oval
race, the 400, was probably top five, maybe definitely top 10, but maybe top five of best Brickyards.
It's the best one since Kane won in 17.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Yeah, and that one, I considered that at the time, I considered that one a mess.
That one's the number
still,
one. That one,
I mean, still,
take that
it
back.
Was exciting.
That's number two, because the first one's always going to be the best.
Well, the first one's the best one, yeah, with Ernie blowing the tire, Jeff. Yeah, and the first one was, and Dale Earnhardt winning the second one. I mean, I do remember that one, too.
Yeah,
but,
first man to win the Brickyard 400.
The first man to win, yeah. Yeah, so it was, great Brickyard, great weekend of racing overall. I mean, the whole thing was just phenomenal, and I think, you know, I hate to say that the hard crashes for the Brickyard played a role there, but when you have some attrition, you know, it leads to better racing. And you know, that late race restart, I know we're kind of bouncing all over the place, but
that's normal.
I felt like that last restart, I mean, Cole Custer, that was beautifully executed and got Kevin back out front, and I mean, it was just, the whole thing was just well played by everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of looking down the list, we'll talk about Jimmy Johnson in a little bit, but Justin Allgaier, subbing for Jimmy Johnson, was involved in the pit road accident. He finishes 37th. Martin Truex Jr. Had a spark plug wire off at the beginning of the race, and then was caught up in that accident as a result as well. His day was over as well. He finished 38th. James wants points for finishing last with his Ryan Preece pick for Dark Horse.
Yeah, that was good. Yep.
Let's see. Ryan Blaney, Eric Jones, Ryan Newman all had trouble. Finished 32nd, 33rd, 34th. Stenhouse Jr. was in that wreck as well on pit road, wasn't he? Or did, I think
he was part.
Yeah, damaged vehicle policy. Yeah, he was involved in the wreck and then didn't meet minimum speed. That's right.
Yeah, we had three DVPs in this one.
Yep.
Which is, yeah.
And then, so those guys, you know, finished toward the back. Let's see, Alex Bowman had an accident.
Byron got caught up with a flat. He had a flat. He didn't crash as hard, but he won stage one, and then ended up finishing 27th, which is kind of a bummer for him. He was looking pretty stout. So
Denny Hamlin goes from seven laps from a win to 28th.
Yeah.
Some guys who did well. You mentioned Cole Custer comes home with a fifth place finish. Eric Almirola, third place. Matt Kenseth.
Another top five for Eric Almirola.
Matt Kenseth looked like he could have won the thing.
He had a shot. Yep. He definitely had. That car has showed that it has some speed. I mean, that was that was the first positive sign that team has had since Darlington won.
Yeah, and Matt, they talked about it a little bit on the broadcast that, Matt found.
He's good there.
He's found this to be more difficult than he expected it to be.
Yeah. You know?
And, yep. I mean, that's surprising. Good. It's tough. Yep.
That's what we said when he came back. I mean, it was not going to be easy. He's been out for a long time, and this is not you don't just pick it up and take off when a team was designed around Kyle Larson and you come and sit in that car. It's not it's not going to be comfortable for a while. But that was a great run.
Yep.
He deserves credit for it.
Kyle Busch with a sixth place finish really was never a factor all day at one of his best tracks.
What was that issue with Blaney early? Did he hit him on purpose?
I don't know. I must have missed that. I didn't see that.
He got into Blaney in the early laps and then was screaming at people on the radio, and he was doing Kyle stuff, and then he just wasn't a factor.
Yeah, Kyle's frustrated. He's going to be in his way now, and then he's going to win a couple races at the end, and he'll be in the final four.
Eric, did you realize, I guess I didn't put two and two together with him. He has not won. He's only won one race in 38 starts.
Yeah.
And I know it's the one he needed to win. But yeah, he's been not good.
No.
For a while now.
Stage wins, no stage points or playoff points so far this season. For Kyle Busch, this is a terrible season.
It's a flummoxing season for him. It's really been, and he's going to a place where maybe he can turn that around, but we got to keep an eye on what's going on there, 'cause it's starting to become a pretty big trend for him.
Yep. Michael McDowell, seventh place finish at a non-restricted track. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, that team, that front row team is ripping off top tens now, and it's not just John Hunter Nemechek.
John Hunter Nemechek finished 15th, but he was up there all day.
He's a good race. Yeah, no, he's been running well all season. And Michael McDowell, I mean, that's awesome to see that team competing. I mean, Michael McDowell was ear to ear smiling after that race. I mean, that is so cool. I love that stuff.
We'll talk about Bubba Wallace in a little bit, but he got a ninth place finish, top 10 for Bubba.
Yep. Tyler Reddick right there in front of him, and Joey Logano.
Joey Logano, 10th place finish, is another one that's just fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, he's in a weird spot. I know he's got a win this year. He's got two wins this year.
Yeah, but it was before the break.
Yep, before COVID. So, yeah, we'll see what they can come back with, you know, as we continue on here. But,
yeah,
weird spot there.
Okay. Anybody else worth mentioning? Everybody else kind of mid-pack, what you kind of expect.
Yeah, mid-pack. The Dylan DiBenedetto thing was kind of funny because they were both – they had some good finishes lined up.
Yeah.
And then they wrecked each other on the last lap.
Yeah.
Over. Well, where were they running? Like, they were near the top 10. They were right there. Yeah. So they finished at the end of the lead lap.
Right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I think that kind of covers everything. We talked about the road course. Neat to see the IndyCar doubleheader with NASCAR. Hopefully see more of that. I think we will, especially next year once things get back to normal, hopefully. So
yep. Yes, sir.
All right, with that, we put the Brickyard in the rear view mirror, and let's talk some news, James.
Where do you want to start, man?
So we're gonna give the Better Late Than Never award to our president today. So I know that there's a lot of people who don't want us to talk politics, and I know...
And we don't, and let's be clear, we don't like it.
No,
either.
we don't want to talk politics either.
But when NASCAR is in the national media, it's our job to with this podcast, I mean, we have to do it, and we're going to do it, and we're going to be honest about it. So here we go.
So, let's roll. So President Trump had not ticked off enough people. He decided to pick on, I mean, large part of his base in NASCAR. I don't, James, you don't have to tweet in the notes. I don't, we don't need to read the tweet. Basically, he calls for Bubba Wallace to apologize for the hoax of the noose. And I mean, I don't, if we'd had this podcast yesterday, I would have just gone on a tear on this thing.
Yeah, we needed a day to cool it a little bit.
It's
for,
like,
for various reasons.
First of all, so take everything away from this. This is 2 weeks after, 3 weeks. I mean, come on, for God's sakes. How, it's over with, Trump. Like, where are you? Why are you chiming in now? And for what? Like, what is the benefit from this? Other than, hey, guess what? Now all of us NASCAR people are talking about the president. So maybe we shouldn't talk about it just for that reason. Bubba again handles himself with grace, great statement in response to it. But Bubba doesn't owe anybody an apology. He had nothing to do with this. All that Bubba did was respond to being told from NASCAR that there was a hate crime committed against him. What do you expect him to do?
Yeah, I know.
He didn't find a thing. He didn't report it.
Bubba Wallace did not go into the garage, grab the noose, and that's what it was.
Right.
It was a noose.
Yeah, we've all seen the pictures.
Yes, he did not grab it and go and say, hey, poor me. Right. Look at this. No, that's not how it happened. Bubba Wallace does not have to apologize. He doesn't have to apologize for the drivers gathering up behind him.
Right.
What makes me the most disappointed in this whole situation is that Bubba's getting dragged for no particular reason again. And all Bubba has ever done is gone with what the FBI said.
Right.
And he's never said that this was intentional or any of that. He said it's a new, like Bubba Wallace said it straight. It's a noose. You look at it, it's a noose. Whether it was there put intentionally or not, we'll never know. And we've talked about it on this podcast enough that, I just hate that he's a good dude. And, you know, the sport backed him up and got behind him literally, figuratively, and this was over. This was done. We had put this to bed, and then it just came roaring back into our lives yesterday when we had gotten to the place where, okay, this is a horrible thing that happened. Then, okay, wait a second. We have this awesome moment. Everybody's happy. Talladega was kind of a beautiful thing. We realized that it wasn't what we thought it was. FBI didn't say it was a hoax. It wasn't a hoax. This is not Jussie Smollett, any of that. This is none of that. That's not what happened here. And we're like, okay, we thought we were kind of embarrassed, blah, 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 right? We come back down. You and I get on the podcast after a few days, and we are like, you know what? NASCAR did the right thing. Everything was cool. We had put it to bed. Everything was cool. The media had settled down, fans had settled down, and we were back racing and everything was grand. And this just, oh man, it just put it into a fever pitch again. Yep. It just spiked it. It just spiked it again everywhere, and everybody was outraged.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but at this point, you know, I think everybody did the right thing in the situation. Again, we said last week that NASCAR probably should have used the word alleged. They probably shouldn't have gone crazy reporting it to the press right away and issued a statement. But so, okay. So be mad at NASCAR, be mad at Steve Phelps, but I'm leave Bubba alone.
Yeah. Bubba's not a target. And you know, Eric, when you and I talk on this podcast and we have an opinion, people can agree or disagree, whatever. It doesn't matter at the end of the day, right? We're just having a conversation. We're having fun.
Right.
But when the leader of the free world puts a target on somebody's back like that, whether you can think it's intentional or not, I don't care what your opinion is, whether that was intentional or not. What he did was put a target on his back. That's a fact. He added Bubba Wallace and put him in the national spotlight.
Yep.
And you know, you may be the kindest, gentlest person in the world, and you're not racist. You are just a Trump voter. Great. Whatever. You live in this country. You can vote for whoever the heck you want. But I think, man, I think we can all agree that when Trump says stuff and does stuff like that, there is a rabid response from his followers and the people who hate him just as passionately as people love him. And doing the things that he does that are like that, it takes things into a negative spiral that is, it's ugly. It's ugly in many different ways. And I loved Bubba's response.
Yeah.
Because he took the route that I feel like most of us should try to take. Kindness is your compass, right?
Right.
You know, love wins. When Donald Trump sent that tweet out, he was not using, that was not a kindness is your compass type of response. That was a direct disgust of the whole thing. And
right.
that's what's disappointing in at the end of the day on the whole situation just is disappointing.
I've said my fair share of things about Jenna Fryer, but she's been pretty awesome this whole deal.
Yep.
She's done a great job of covering it. Trump also claimed that ratings were down due to the banning of the Confederate flag, which they are not.
They're up since returning.
And yep. I believe it was like a 40-some% increase this weekend for the Brickyard 400. So,
yep. And Fox is up 8% across the board.
Yep.
So, yeah, the numbers are not down.
Yeah. So fake news, guys. Fake news.
Right. Yeah. numbers are not down. I will say I don't want to close the book on this issue without saying NASCAR is really bumming me out with some of their lackadaisical responses on this.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I just want to say they didn't handle Barstool at all.
No.
They didn't say a word. They said literally said no comment. And then they came out after this how many hours later? They let Bubba hang out to dry without protecting their driver. And 7 hours, 8 hours later, it was a statement that they had sent out, and it was very bland. They didn't take a hard stand, which
yeah, there were no teeth in it whatsoever.
Yeah, and I know NASCAR's got a relationship with Trump, and they're trying to do the right thing by Bubba, and they're trying to toe the line there, but that was weak. It was a weak, weak statement. Just, you don't have to attack Donald Trump to make a strong statement. You can stand up for your driver and make a strong statement without, you know, you don't have to put anybody down. Just stand up for your driver and give him the facts.
Well, and that's the argument I was going to make is that, you know, Trump, I don't get why he bit this off. There's no benefit from this, but there's no benefit for NASCAR to go toe to toe with Trump either.
No, God, no. You don't want to. There's, yeah, exactly. There's not, you know, it's NASCAR made the easy play with the Confederate flag. I feel like it was, you know, I think the obvious thing to do at
right.
that time. And with everything going on in this country, I thought it's great that they made the move, but it was an easy move.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, they've had harder things come up onto their plate, and they've pushed the plate to the side, in my opinion. They haven't taken a bite out of any of it.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way I just feel like it's been very bland on their part, and it seems like it would be easier to tell Barstool to kick rocks.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. I just think when you come out with a statement that is so blah about this Bubba Wallace thing, it's great what you said, but back it up with something. Put some stones behind it. You know, really. I mean, that's how I felt. But
yeah,
we may all feel differently, but that's where I landed on anyway. I don't know. I hate talking about this stuff, Eric. I really do.
I agree. So let's stop.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't.
Let's move on to more depressing things.
Let's not. Hopefully we do not have to revisit this because I'm really tired of it.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. And honestly, you know, there's listeners out there who don't want to hear it either.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yep.
All right, guys.
All right. with that, we'd be doing a disservice by ignoring it. So we're not going to do that either.
Exactly. We're not going to do that.
We've picked and choose, picked and chosen a few things that we've ignored, but that's something we can't ignore. So with that, as James said, more depressing news. Obviously, we mentioned Justin Allgaier replacing Jimmy Johnson this weekend. Jimmy Johnson becomes the first Cup Series driver, first NASCAR driver, to test positive for COVID and missed this weekend at the Brickyard. And could potentially miss this weekend at Kentucky as well. He needs to have two negative tests within or at least 24 hours apart not show symptoms to be allowed back in. So,
And Bob Pockrass did. I noticed right before we started taping the show that Johnson is on the list for Kentucky. He is not approved or anything like that, but it sounds like he is asymptomatic. So he's just going to try to pass. He's got to pass these tests. And he can get back out there.
Let's hope Jimmy's back.
Dude, this really sucked when this happened. And we recorded last Tuesday. This came out, Wednesday or Thursday last week?
Yeah, something like that.
Thursday, I think. I hate it for Jimmy. Like, it's his last season, and he has never missed a start until – he never missed a start until Sunday.
Yeah. That
sucks.
I think the biggest thing is I was listening to Moody a little bit today on Sirius, and this Jimmy was super careful, did everything right, and still caught it. And so we can expect this is probably going to happen a couple more times.
Eric, this is the world we're living in, and I think athletes, as the NBA gathers for their bubble in Orlando, and teams are flying into Orlando and reporting positive tests before they get into the bubble. This is going to be sports in the rest of this year. Baseball is going to struggle with it, and football, football is trying to ignore it, I feel like.
Right.
And it's knocking at their door. But what I want to know is when we're in the playoffs, and what's really going to suck is when Kyle Busch is trying to make a run for the championship and he's the one who catches it. As an example, right? He's, we're coming into an elimination race and Kyle Busch can't compete.
Yep.
That's just brutal. It's just going to be brutal to knock guys out, but it's the world we're in right now.
One thing to note, NASCAR has said that Jimmy will get a waiver. Just has to, maintain a spot in the point standings and
he's still in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, he's good. He's 36 points to the good right now. So he's still got about a race ish, buffer.
This was Jimmy's first race missed, at least since since he started full time. Ran a limited schedule his first season, but
I was shocked. I was completely shocked, when I saw that news.
Yeah,
I didn't think it would be that guy, but it's coming for. Coming for anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, coronavirus doesn't care
care who you are.
No, it's going to knock you on your ass.
Yep.
And so, that's,
Fortunately, the best thing about it is, like you said, he's asymptomatic. So not suffering as a result of this other than having to sit out. So that's good.
Yeah. And what's funny is, I follow Jimmy on the athlete app Strava and, he's always on there riding his bike and running and, dirt bike. Stuff and he had been pretty active with that stuff up until that announcement. I haven't seen him back on there since, obviously, fighting this thing off, but he had been out and about doing stuff. I mean, similar things that I do, for God's sakes.
Right.
I'm out there every day running or whatever, and people are going to work and they're doing stuff, and it's just normal life for him. And that's and sounds like he got it from his wife, from that's kind of what he said, I think. But yeah. Man, it sucks. I just didn't want this for his last season, for him to miss a race.
Yeah.
And for his fans. I mean, I know it bummed me out when Tony Stewart couldn't race in the Daytona 500 for his final season. I mean, that really sucked. And that, if you're a fan of Jimmy, this sucks.
But right.
He's healthy. So we'll get him back out there.
Yep. With that, good opportunity for Justin Allgaier. Certainly raised some questions this past week about whether Allgaier is a potential replacement for Jimmy next season. That likely is not the case, but Hendrick Motorsports basically has had a plan in place since they returned, with Allgaier as the backup driver should somebody come down sick. And so they implemented that plan, and that's what we got. Some interesting names popped up, though, as a result, and I don't have the Pockers tweet in front of me, but there were some names mentioned as potentials rumored for that ride.
Some interesting ones, yeah.
Yeah, one of them was Bubba Wallace. Tyler Reddick is another one been mentioned. Yep. Reddick's on a one-year contract with Richard Childress. And then Chase Briscoe was one that was mentioned as potential.
Wait, SHR's got to lock Chase Briscoe down.
They've got to.
Dude is a wheel man.
Yep.
He said at the beginning of the year he needed to win 8 races to make it into Cup.
Yeah,
he's going to do it.
He's got 5 right now, right?
Yeah, he's got 5. He's yeah, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
I really love watching that kid race, man. He's me really too. Showing me stuff. I think, okay, so Eric, I think we've got 2 guys right now, realistically, for that 48. Hear me out.
Okay.
Where is the company that sponsors that car based?
I don't know. Where is the company that sponsors that car based?
Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
They're based in Detroit, Michigan.
But the CEO of that company just posted a really favorable Bubba Wallace tweet the other day.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, maybe we have 3 drivers for that seat.
Right.
So, okay, that puts a nick in my theory. I'm going to talk it out anyway.
Okay.
So, based in Detroit, we have probably the two best free agents are Michigan based.
Yeah.
Eric Jones versus Brad Keselowski for the 48 car. That was where I narrowed it down.
Interesting.
Yeah, all the Michigan ties, right?
Brad's not leaving Penske.
He hasn't been offered a contract there, dude.
It isn't happening, man. He's staying.
We're getting into the silly season again. Here we go.
I'd almost be willing to put money down that he stays with Penske.
Doesn't he seem a little disgruntled? He's been a little disgruntled.
Brad always seems disgruntled. He really does. I mean, he's always kind of irritated.
Yeah, he's, yeah, yep. He shares that with his good buddy KB.
Yeah.
Agitated.
Well, I think the difference is that Kyle is legitimately irritated. Brad just comes across that way.
Well, Eric, here you go. That's true. Do you put another young driver in and let Chase Elliott be the banner carrier for Hendrick Motorsports, or do you go get the veteran?
I don't know. At this point, Chase is, I mean, he's shown beginning of the season that he's, so the thing you got with Chase Elliott is, yes, he's a young driver, but he's got the maturity that his dad had.
Yeah, he's wise beyond his years. I will give you that.
So you're not going to have that. You're not going to have that punk kid aspect with him. He's going to be a veteran before a lot of these guys are veterans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's already starting to show some of that.
Yeah, he's already starting to get into the veteran status. He's getting some wins now, and he's going to fill that role pretty quick. So I think as a team owner, if I was Hendrick, I'd probably be okay with him being the leader of the team, him being the elder statesman at Hendrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you could gobble up Eric Jones, but I think Toyota's going to do everything in their power to keep him.
Yeah, if I'm a car owner, I'm just licking my chops at those two guys. Yeah. If I bring them into my team, I'm an instantaneous playoff. I'm guaranteeing a playoff berth.
Right.
From there, I can.
The only thing you've got for I mean, both those guys in Hendrick's situation, I think, is that Hendrick likely will have the money to go after them that they might not get from their other teams.
That's right. Yep.
Because like Penske's going to want to cut Brad, and yep. Hendrick's going
to want that cut.
You know, Hendrick saved some money over the past few years with having veterans leave the team. And he's got another one leaving this year that likely is going to leave a pretty big opening in the payroll as well. So he might have more funds to put toward it.
And if you're Brad Keselowski and you take a little pay cut, but still it's a big contract for your last big contract before it's all over. I mean, that's what he wants. So,
but let's look at someone like Dale Jr. I mean, Hendrick brought Dale Jr. in there, and I don't think brought Dale in as somebody he was expecting to come in and win a bunch of championships. I mean, he likely figured he'd get one out of him maybe, but I think he brought Dale in for the merchandising and the popularity and all the, you know, the business side of things that brought Dale. Him.
Yeah.
And so, I mean
he wouldn't fired Kyle Busch for him.
Right. I mean, wouldn't somebody like Bubba Wallace be able to, okay, maybe Bubba's not going to come in and win a bunch of championships, but Bubba might be the personality to stick in that car. So
I think we're halfway there with Bubba. I don't know where this is going to all shake out just quite yet, but I mean, we've got sponsors coming on board. I mean,
look, I'm cheering for Bubba for that ride. Yeah, I just want to see Bubba in a good ride.
I want to see Bubba compete too. Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if
he's already in a Chevy right now, so Chevy likes him. I mean,
yeah, and you know, he's gonna make a strong case. And he's running well. You know, it's not a gimmick thing. He's running well.
No, he's running well in a car that shouldn't.
Even Tyler Reddick.
Yep.
You know, Tyler Reddick's running really good.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think it's what the most interesting thing is, James, is that here we are halfway through the season and we don't know who's going to fill the biggest ride. I mean, we knew who was going to fill the 24 well before Gordon stepped aside. You know, we've known who was going to fill. We knew who was going to fill Stewart's car before Stewart left. I mean, we've known.
2 years.
Yeah. And at this point, we don't even know for. I mean, Jimmy said he's not coming back, but now he's got COVID. You know, who knows? Maybe Jimmy says, one more year. You know,
maybe
who knows?
Maybe. Yeah, so, I know.
I mean, I don't think Hendrick needs to be in a hurry to fill this ride.
Silliest of all silly seasons.
Yeah.
It's getting,
Quote, throws a big wrench.
Talk about silly season, but here we are.
Yep. So,
so we always do.
Right. All right. NASCAR expected to release its final schedule this week. I'm looking forward to seeing that. However, according to Adam Stern, we may not get the waiver for Watkins Glen. Which means, well, NASCAR hinted last week that if they didn't get that it would likely, they'd likely run a road course or a roval race at a track in the southeast, which I think became pretty obvious. They probably weren't going to do Charlotte twice, so probably Daytona, and that was confirmed by Stern that that's what they're looking at, is the Daytona road course. Obviously, we were going to run the Clash there next year anyway, so why not get a head start on it and run a points-paying race there this year? The only thing is, I watched the sports car race there at Daytona this year. Man, that road course is like, it's not up to like NASCAR standards. It's just, it needs some help. It's pretty run down.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, it's going to be spaced out a little bit.
Not like Charlotte that they've put all, I mean, it's all pristine. And I mean, Charlotte looks like a Formula One track the way they've painted it up. And I mean, I guess they could do that at Daytona, but I don't know, man. Who knows with the season? I mean, anything's up in the air. I mean, anything could happen. So,
Absolutely. Who knows? But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and if we were messaging earlier today, but if Florida doesn't get their stuff together soon, who knows if we're going to Daytona at all? So,
Well, I mean, North Carolina has not been spectacular either. And if North Carolina gets shut down again, we're screwed because that's where all the teams are. So.
Exactly.
I mean, so who knows? I mean, we're this whole season still just hinges on one decision.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Who knows? Yep. But I don't know. I'm optimistic after what we saw at the Brickyard on the road course. So I don't care. Wherever we run them, let's run them.
Yep. Let's get them in.
Yeah. But get it. I mean, certainly do a road course. Don't replace it with an oval. So
yeah, I'm bummed about the Glen.
Yeah, me too. I like the Glen.
Either way.
Well, I'm bummed we lost Sonoma, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, we lost like some good ones. Yeah. It sucks.
And Chicago. Yep. I mean, every race we lost has been a bummer. So.
Yep.
Except maybe one of those Richmond races.
Maybe. Yeah.
So, let's see. All-Star voting. We got the All-Star race coming up later this month at Bristol Wednesday night. Bubba Wallace currently leads the All-Star fan vote right now over Clint Bowyer, Matt DiBenedetto, William Byron, and Corey LaJoie per NASCAR.
Yeah.
I think that's not a surprise. I'm pretty sure Bubba's gonna get in if he doesn't win a race, right? I mean,
yeah, he'll get in. Yep.
So
yeah, he's getting in either way.
What do you think of Clint Bowyer in second? Does that surprise you?
Yeah, a little bit, but you know he's got that Barstool following.
True,
so,
that is true.
You know, he's getting a little pop there. Yeah, beating DiBenedetto is kind of surprising, though.
Yeah, that was what I thought. I thought, and Corey LaJoie, I mean, making a case for himself, I guess.
He's giving her a go. I think
the politics he's been doing over the past few months has worked out for him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So. That's gonna be a good race at Bristol though with that crop. That's gonna be good.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So. Yep.
All right. Anything else, James? Did we miss any news? Anything break while we started this?
Nope. I was scurrying through the Twitters, but nothing to report. I was kind of hoping the schedule would pop on before our night was over. But
no, I was wondering if that was gonna happen. That'll be tomorrow. It'll come tomorrow probably.
Yeah.
It always comes the day after we record. So.
Yeah, all the big news usually comes out a day after we record. We could record on Friday, and then something would happen.
Yep.
Pretty much.
All right. With that, we go to Kentucky Speedway this weekend. It's Quaker State 400 presented by Walmart at Kentucky Speedway. Interesting weekend of racing. So we got an Xfinity Series doubleheader this weekend, Thursday and Friday for the Xfinity Series. Thursday and Friday night.
That's gonna be awesome.
And then an ARCA Truck Series doubleheader on Saturday, and then the Cup races on Sunday.
I love that.
Instead of Saturday night. So daytime race at Kentucky for the Cup Series. Yeah. First time in a few years.
I love that. It sounds like an awesome weekend of racing.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to a couple Xfinity races on Thursday night, man. If I get a Thursday night race, I'm happy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, and this is, and you know, to make you happy after, you know, this is one you were probably looking forward to possibly going to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this will be the first year in 3 years that I haven't been at Kentucky, so.
Yep.
So last race, James and I made our picks, and James tied it back up. James picked Kevin Harvick, gets 2 points with the Kevin Harvick pick with the win. I had Denny Hamlin, so I had it until 7 to go. Dark Horse, I picked Matt DiBenedetto over James's Ryan Preece. I don't know where Matt finished, but Preece finished dead last.
We know where Ryan Preece finished. Yeah, picked the winner and the last place spot. I thought that was worth another point. But
there you go. So that's okay. 16 races in, we are tied 18-18. So it shows that we're either both good at this or suck at it.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, we're bad at it. All right, so I don't need to do a whole lot of research on this pick today. I get the first pick for Kentucky, and I'm all set with my pick. I'm going to go with somebody who is chomping at the bit to get back to Kentucky and put on a schooling like he did 2 years ago, and I'm going Martin Truex Jr. for the win.
Ooh, the MTJ pick.
Yep.
Wow, I like that. I like that. Okay, I was struggling between a couple of guys. Do I ride the hot hand of Kevin Harvick? Do I do Alex Bowman, or do I go with somebody maybe with a better history? But I am going to take Kevin Harvick. I'm going to ride the hot hand. If he's available right now.
You're going Harvick. This is one of the tracks, James.
Yeah.
He's never won at Kentucky.
Yep. But he has one of the highest driver ratings at Kentucky. Kyle Busch is off the charts, but I just struggle having to pick him right now. He's pretty good. He's pretty good. Average finish is around 10th. He's led some laps. Rodney Childress is bringing a fast piece every week.
Yeah. You can't pick wrong with Harvick right now.
I got to ride it. I mean, I'm going to ride the hot hand, I think. I'm going to try that strategy and see how I come out the other end.
Couple notes here. Brad Keselowski is the winningest driver at Kentucky Speedway with three wins. Yeah. He won the first one here. Let's see. Matt Kenseth has a win here. Kurt Busch won last year side by side with his brother coming in line. Kyle Busch has two wins here. Kyle's been really good here as well. He was, I think, the second winner here. He also won it in his championship season.
Yeah.
And then Martin Truex Jr. has two wins here, and 2 years ago just dominated the living crap out of this race. I know I was there. It was boring. It was awful. Last year's race was good. 2 years ago was awful.
Kyle Busch has made all 9 starts, so we're going to have this is our 10th Kentucky race in Cup Series, which you and I were, before the podcast, we were just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
How are we doing that? Kyle Busch's average finish, 4.7 over the entirety of the history of this race, and he has one race where he didn't finish in the top 10.
That's crazy. So, there's a lot of history, you know, despite the fact that we've only raced here 10 years, there is a lot of NASCAR history at Kentucky Speedway, because we ran the Truck Series here for a long time.
Yep.
So it's not a new track. It's an old track.
And the Busch series back in the Xfinity series back when it was the Busch series, that they had some good shows there as well.
Yeah. Been a lot of good races in Kentucky in the lower series.
Yeah, it was. Who broke through? Remember, it was an unsponsored car. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank on who won that race. Hold on. I can find it. Filibuster for me.
I don't know. I know there was a flip here, I think.
Joe Nemechek's flip. Yeah.
No, Joe Nemechek flipped at Nashville.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
The 21 car in the Xfinity series flipped on the backstretch here, I believe. Didn't he? Wasn't it here?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I feel
right.
Like
yes.
It was.
Yep, you're correct.
Yeah, and this was the track that Dario Franchitti did the backflip after the finish at, too, wasn't it? Didn't he flip here?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Over the
yeah.
back of an Indy car and flipped just a couple weeks after he flipped at Michigan. So, did I filibuster enough yet, James? Did you find it?
No, I can't find it, but that's okay. It's okay.
Last year, my wife and my parents and my boys got to come to the truck race on Thursday night out there. So that was cool.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You guys had a whole excursion.
Yeah, we went to the Ark out in Kentucky. That was a good time. could you hear my eye roll through the anyway? No, it's a great track. I mean, obviously fans aren't allowed there this weekend, but if you get a chance to go out to Kentucky Speedway, it's a great track. Good amenities. They have a escalator in the pedestrian tunnel, which is spectacular. So you don't have to climb stairs. It's great. Did you say you got it?
I got it.
What do you got?
I was thinking it was David Gillen, and he does have a win here, but Stephen Light was the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Remember Stephen Light?
I remember him, but I don't remember him winning.
Yeah, he won here in an unsponsored ride, and then it kind of launched his career into the Cup Series a little bit, and then he never – I don't know what happened to him, but either way, there you go. A little history. Xfinity Series history. Wow. Brendan Gaughan's got to win here.
Travis Quapple was the one who flipped here in the Xfinity Series.
Oh, Travis Quapple. Oh, yep, my God.
Down the back stretch.
There's a name from the – that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got to meet him at Daytona Truck Series.
Oh, there you go.
All right. So James, you get the dark horse. We stalled enough on that. Who are you picking for your dark horse?
I'll take Bubba.
Okay.
I will take Bubba. He's got a decent track record here, but he's been running good of late. So, and I'm gonna kick myself because I wanted to, maybe should have taken one of those front row cars, but that's okay.
I'm looking at something really quick here because I thought I was all set, but now I'm doubting myself.
You don't want to take Quinn Hoff?
No, not gonna.
Is that gonna be the running joke every time we do the dark horse from now on?
I don't know. One of these times I'm gonna pick him just to do it. No, I don't want to give up the points.
Well, if you've got the championship in hand, that's the pick. Just that's your taking a knee. I'm gonna pick Quinn Hoff.
All right. Who'd you say you pick? You picked Bubba?
I did. Yeah, I'm going to take Bubba.
Okay. I am going to go then with last year's Xfinity winner. Somebody who ran really well here and tried to do the Stone Cold Steve Austin off the side of his car and fell off the door. Cole Custer.
That's a really good one. Yeah.
Dark horse.
I forgot about that. That's really good. Yeah, that was funny.
Good stuff.
I always wondered if a driver would ever fall off the car.
Fell right off the door into the Q lane.
Yeah. And he's coming off a good run, too. So that's a good pick.
Yeah. There you go. Fantasy League, James. I know I finished second.
You did really well, man. Yeah. You were second. Hold on. I'm just pulling up.
I beat you just by a little bit, I think.
You did. You beat me by 7. Yeah. Jay Wint was the winner, 209. Eric was 198 at the KB show, and that was third, Smokey Comeback. So that's probably the first time we've both been on the podium in a while. And then a little bit back was our buddy Freight Train, and then Baron Speedway, top 5.
Nice.
And overall standings, just really quick. Freight Train still running away with it, but it's narrowed up a little bit. Not quite a 100-point lead over Ranger Runyon, Denny the Many, Justin 713, and then I am in fifth, just ahead of the KB show.
Nice. So,
there you go. We are just hanging out right next to each other.
Yeah.
The entire time. So there you go.
Stupid fantasy league.
It is a dumb fantasy league.
So I will say that my strategy from here forward, and it's kind of been all season, is just I just race week to week because I know I'm not going to do anything in the title chase.
Yeah.
So like
I know.
If I miss a week, who cares? And
yeah, I feel like you're not catching Todd. So yeah.
I'm running some drivers down. I got some drivers with three starts left.
Yeah, I'm kind of using my guys too. Who's running well? I'm gonna just keep plugging them in.
Yeah, I figure if I get some wins now, I'll be happy, and then I'll just suck before the playoffs.
You get to reuse some stuff in the playoffs. The rules the rules change a little bit. So
yeah, I'm trying to stretch it a little bit, but it's been tough because there's consistently like 5 guys that do well, and then when I pick them, they do crappy. So.
Well, and if you pick Harvick and Hamlin every week, you're going to be right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, except this week when you pick Hamlin and you're winning the freaking thing and then he crashes
even
and finishes 28.
Yeah. I had him in my lineup and he still got me a decent amount of points just because of stages. So
that's true. See, that's one thing I don't factor in is the stage stuff either. I pick more for the end of the race and the stage stuff is important.
Yeah, you got to think about those stages. And then you can be like me and think that Harvick won all the stages and didn't win all the stages. That's what I was looking at. But, the Fantasy League is a constant irritation for me. So if that brings you joy, then there you go. Just constantly bothering me at this point. It's gotten to that point.
Any shout-outs, James?
I might steal yours since I'm going first, I think.
I don't have one right now, so.
Our buddy Baron Speedway, I know we mention him all the time, but he's got a cool thing going on. He's doing NASCAR 2000. That's just
Oh,
great.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a good... Oh, crap. I just got the new Facebook. What worst time to get the new Facebook? Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, new Facebook, yeah. No, he's running NASCAR 2000, so he's got the old diecast, you know, all of the diecasts we used to have, and... he's running them around Baron Speedway, and it's just great. So I love that stuff.
Yeah, it is completely awesome. Very, very cool. I am trying to find mine real quick, and I found it. All right. My pick, and I guarantee you he probably doesn't listen to this show. He's probably never heard of it. But I'm on the Untitled Facebook group with Jeff Gluck and whatnot for the from when he was on Patreon. And there's a gentleman named Adam Niemeyer who posted today that he is one of the select few that has been picked as a media member for Kentucky Speedway this weekend. So he will be in, he thinks, he's not positive, but he's pretty sure he's going to be in the press box at Kentucky Speedway. So congratulations to him. And I'm bumming. I won't be there this year. So
yeah, it sucks. But yeah, that's good for, I feel like I've seen that name before. He must come up on my Twitter feed from time to time.
Yeah, it's possible. Obviously he's done some NASCAR media if he's getting in. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't decided what I'm doing for Michigan yet. I'm thinking about reaching out to Michigan this week and just kind of making sure they know who I am and kind of planting a seed so there's a possibility I might be able to go there if they aren't letting more media there. But I don't know. I don't know how anxious I am to get to the track right now. So
yeah, it's tough.
It's tough when you're we're doing a podcast. So really, the benefit I'm going to get from being there is talking to the drivers, and I'm not going to get to do that. So.
Yeah.
Is there really a point in taking a media seat there from somebody else when I can just watch on TV at home? And that's probably what I'll do.
Right.
Because there's less of a chance of me catching COVID from home than sitting in the press box with a bunch of other media members.
Well, there's some sketchy characters up there anyway. Well,
I will say Michigan's got probably of the tracks that I've been to, Michigan's got the most spacious press box. I mean, you can spread out in there. I've never sat close to anybody in that press box.
No, not even during the big race on Sunday.
Yeah,
no.
There's lots of room up there.
Yep.
Compared to Chicagoland, which has, I think, 9 to 12 total seats in it, Michigan's is gigantic. So,
yeah, it's like it's made for the Super Bowl or something. It's ginormous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Although
I wouldn't want to be inside with airflow with other.
No. No, yeah. Especially in the last couple of years, the air conditioning hasn't worked up there either. So it's been a little toasty in the old press box at Michigan. So anyway, James, where can people find you on social media if they want to chat with you during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. We're even on the new Facebook that I just got, and I'm very disappointed because I've heard so many bad things about it. And it looks awful. It looks.
I had it a while ago and I turned it off, and it's probably gonna pop
yeah,
up.
Do I get the option to turn it off? Oh, I can switch back. Okay, good.
Oh, good. Okay, you're good. Yeah.
Good. All right.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably just stick with this because eventually I'm gonna end up with it anyway. Anyway, you can find the podcast on thesuperspeedway.com. That's our website. You can find past podcasts on there. Show notes. We have links to all the articles we discussed. If you want to read the statements from or the tweet from the president. Statement from Bubba, all that stuff is on there. There's links to it in the show notes. So you can check that out at thesuperspeedway.com. You can find a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you found us today. We hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you want to help out the show, become a part of the show, whatever, you can do that at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. There's a couple options there to become a patron and support the show. With that, we go to Kentucky Speedway this weekend. We'll be back next week to discuss it. And, yeah, that's it. I don't have anything else to say. I'll stall until my soundboard picks up with the delay. With that, everybody, let's go racing.